Hi everybody, my name is Roberto and actually I'm from Italy, but right now I'm speaking from Switzerland where I just moved last year to do consulting. And today I will give you a talk about this open source project that I've been running since the beginning of this year, which is called Elmar. And Elmar stands for Elma plus Signaler, from the name of the two main libraries that I've been using to build this project, and it's a real-time error handling web dashboard where you can aggregate multiple applications, web applications, to monitor them and to keep them under control in case unexpected errors occur. So quickly, the agenda of this session: I will tell you something about the project. So what's Elmar? I will give you an introduction, a description of the session that I will be doing, so that you will be able to see what I will be talking about and maybe decide if you want to go on or to leave because maybe you're not very interested in it. And then I will tell you about the project structure, so how I built it and how it works and how I used the libraries that I put into the project. And then we will start looking at demos and code for the rest of the session. At the end of the session, I will just tell you about something about the status of this project and something about maybe how you could contribute to the project if you want. Okay, so let's start. And first, why I decided to give this talk to this conference. So the ASP.conf is about the ASP.NET stack. And I thought that Elmar was an interesting project to showcase in such a conference because it's a relatively complex project, but it's been quite easy to build it, really thanks to all the goodness that we have in the ASP.NET stack. So all the open source libraries that we have from the community around ASP.NET and the ASP.NET platform itself made it quite easy to build such a project. I've been also using open source projects that are not strictly related to the ASP.NET platform, but are mostly related to the client side web development. But still, this is another good point about the ASP.NET stack because nowadays it's actually really easy to pick such kind of libraries and use them in your projects. Elmar is an idea that comes from the real world because it actually tries to solve a problem that it happened to me several times to have. So for you too, as a developer, you might have several projects running at the same time. Maybe they are running on development machines or in production, and you wanted to keep them under control. So you really need a way to look at the logs and keep an eye on the application while they are running. And usually it can get difficult if you have many of them because all those information are spread all over the place. And to have a central place to handle this kind of information was for me a good idea and a good tool to have. And would it be good for an enterprise too? I think it will. Actually, the project is still growing, so probably it's not really yet enough mature to go directly to an enterprise, but hopefully, working on it, it could reach the necessary level of maturity to go into the enterprises. So the session will be about this project, and the project level is an intermediate level. With this, I mean that this is not a trivial project. It's not just an Hello World application like you many times see in conferences, but at the same time, it's not too complex. So it fits quite well in a session, in a conference, because it's still possible to showcase functionalities and libraries without having to look at too much complicated code. So the project is intermediate, and also the session level at this point is intermediate. I will probably need all the 75 minutes of this session because I have many things to say. And I will show you something about the architecture of this project. we will be doing live demos and we will be stepping through the code while watching at the demos. So a lot of code, a lot of Visual Studio and Chrome developer tools. We will be looking so at server-side code in C# and client-side code that runs in the browser, so it will be JavaScript code. So this means that you have to have some minimal familiarity with those two languages to attend the session. And if you have some basic knowledge of ELMA, it will help, but it's not really mandatory to have it, because I will give some introduction on these libraries and on the other libraries, main libraries that I've been using. In particular, I used ELMA, Signaler, and Knockout. About Knockout, I will really just say a few words at the end, so don't expect really to learn a lot about Knockout. You will just see it in action very, very quickly. In this conference, there are many sessions about Knockout. So if you have really to learn the ABC about it, probably other sessions are more fit more this need. And while I will be looking with some more attention to ELMA and Signaler. So as I just mentioned, what did I use for this project? But, well, the two main libraries are ELMA and Signaler that give the name to this project. ELMA is there to intercept unhandled exceptions occurring on the monitored applications, while Signaler is there to broadcast that information to all the connected clients. And actually, I use Signaler to do all the networking, all the messaging that I need to do from client to server and from server to client, so in both directions, so not just to broadcast. Then I use Knockout to handle the user interface updates, because I needed a way to keep a good separation between the logics in JavaScript and user interface manipulation. And I will tell you in a few minutes exactly why I needed so bad this kind of feature. I also used a lot of other stuff, server side. For example, I used Entity Framework to do some persistence, for example, for errors history or for user settings. I used the Razor engine to compile CS HTML files that I used to implement a plugin system. And then I also used several client-side libraries. I'm listing there quickly. I will not tell you anything about those libraries, but I mention them because if you really want to see sample code, which is not too complicated, where these libraries are used, you can still have a look at the code of Elmar to have an idea. So let's start describing quickly the three main libraries that I used. ELMA stands for Error Logging Module and Handlers, and it's an extensible framework that you can use to trap unhandled exceptions. So it's really easy to use because it doesn't need you to modify your code to trap exceptions. It can be plugged in your solution just by dropping the DLL or using the NuGet package if you want, but you can even just drop the ELMA.dll in your bin folder and add some configuration keys to your web configs, and you are ready to go and to use all the functionalities that you have from ELMA. So for example, you will be able to log your errors in databases or in files or send emails, email notifications when errors happen. And it's an extensible framework, as I just said, and actually I had to extend it because I needed a way to trap errors with ELMA and then post them to my ELMAR application to be able to then broadcast those details to the connected clients. So I wrote a module which does just this, takes a representation of my error and posts it to a URL. And I will show you how I wrote this module to extend ELMA. Then I use Signaler. Signaler is a really great library to do asynchronous messaging. And it really allows you to build real-time reactive web application. Not only web application, but in our case, I used it to build a web application. So it's really a great way to build apps that are pushing data to the clients. So instead of having clients polling your server periodically to see updates, as we had to do for many years, now with such a library, you can do in a very, very easy way pushing. You can apply pushing strategy and have your clients updated in real time. And it's an abstraction to the underlying HTTP connection that is occurring between your browser and your server. And it really allows you to treat your connection as it is, as if it was a persistent connection. So you really have the illusion to have a persistent connection available, but actually Signalar is using can use several strategy to give you this illusion, and it's able to adapt and to choose the best strategy according to the context where you're running. So depending on the type of browser that you are using or on the type of web server that you are running on, it will pick the best one and will do the work for you. And Signalar is composed by two parts, a server-side library that can be hosted in your ASP.NET application, but you can also do self-hosting or host it on OWIN compliant web browsers. And then you have a set of client libraries, and we will be using just one, which is the client library that you can use from a browser. So it will be the JavaScript client library. The third library that I used is Knockout. I added this library later, not since the very beginning of the project. But it's really been a great library that allowed me to create the user interface of Elmar, basing it on data structures and not on JavaScript code that I had to write to do DOM manipulation. So you do that filling data structure on your JavaScript code and using declarative bindings that you put into your HTML, and then Knockout.js will do the rest of the job to keep the two parts in sync. So it is really great to build a single page application when you where you want to supply great interactivity and great reactivity to your application. And it's really great also to decouple the tasks that are the usual task for a developer and the tasks that are the ones that a web designer normally has to do. And this was really an important point for me because my skills of HTML and CSS are let's say good, but I'm not really a web designer, so I don't have the necessary skill and talent to really draw and organize a nice looking and functional web user interface. So I really wanted to work with a web designer to do this. And actually, I'm very lucky because my wife, she's a web designer. So I had the chance to work with her using this library because it really allowed me to separate the two concerns, and she was able to work in her context without having to deal with the JavaScript, which, by the way, she doesn't know at all. She's not a programmer, so I really needed a way to separate those two worlds, and Knockout allowed me to do that very easily. Also, looking at my code, I was very, very happy about how the code developed because I was able to remove all the classical code that you have to write to manipulate the DOM. So the application's logic are really clean and clear. Okay, now with this slide, I want to show you the architecture and the idea that is behind Elmar. So as I said, you can monitor multiple web applications. Those four boxes are representing my application that I want to monitor. And to monitor them in case of errors, you can do that in several ways, but hopefully you are already using Elma because it's really an easy, a functional way to do that. You are using Elmar and probably you are sending your errors to a database or to some file. Okay, that's great. But then when you have the need to look at those information because you have to diagnose something that is happening, you really have to look for those information for each application separately. There are tricks that you can do to share a database to store all the errors in the same database, but still you can see it's a sort of a shortcoming. You don't really have a well-organized user interface where you can do that. You have to build your own system to keep multiple applications under control in a easier way without having to treat them as separate silos. So the idea that I had is to build a web application, which is our Elmar web application, that would have been able to receive details about errors intercepted by Elmar in monitored application and send them to the connected users. So to do that, I wrote a module to extend Elmar, and we will show in some details this module later. And I plugged it into the configuration of my web application. So again, it's just configuration what you have to do in your monitored application. No code to modify. At this point, Elma is able to intercept our unhandled exceptions, and the post module that I wrote kicks in when that happens, and it collects the information about our error and posts them to our Elmar instance. At this point, Elmar is able to broadcast that information, and it uses SignalR to do that. So our connected clients will see the information coming down in a central place, and when the user connects, it sees something like this. This is a screenshot of our Elmar dashboard, and so all the information is organized here in this single page. As I told you, you don't have to navigate anywhere else to see information because it's a single page application. The information is organized in three columns. In the first column, we have a set of boxes, where the first one is a box about collecting information about all the applications at the same time, while the other boxes are really connected to each one to one of our monitored applications. In those boxes, you see numbers about the total number of errors that you have received since when you opened your browser window. And you will see more information about, for example, the type of the latest error that you received and the timing when the last error happened. And you can also see there are a few icons there that are representing additional functionality that we will see in a couple in our demo. Then we have a second column. In this column, all the errors ends up stacking up. And so the latest error will appear on the top of this column, which, by the way, is representing errors from all the monitored application at the same time. So you have a general feed here. All the errors go there, and the newest one goes on the top, pushing down the oldest one. Sort of Twitter, like the Twitter website, to have an example. And each box will contain a few information about the error, like the name of the application that experienced the error, the type error, and a description. You can see an icon which is representing the icon of the browser that the user was using when the error occurred. And also you can see the timing when the error happened. If you click on the description of each error, you can see also a pop-up. I will show you that in the demo, showing the full detail of this error. This full detail is not collected by Elmar, but it's really the job of Elmar. So Elmar is already doing that, and we are just using that functionality and that feature from Elmar, and we are just collecting that information, and we try to show it in a nice way, hopefully, and in a well-organized way. Then in this third column, we have some, I call them extras. Those are boxes that are representing ideas for plugins. I introduced a plugin system in Elmar since a few weeks. These boxes are actually older, so they are not yet built on top of the plugin system, but they are there to represent how you can imagine to extend Elmar, with this plugin system. I will tell you something about just the first one. You see a Remember Me text, and this is really a way to tell Elmar that you want the application to remember your settings about your personal dashboard. If you click that checkbox inside that box, through a cookie, it will remember your settings. Of course, in a real-world scenario, we would replace this system with a more professional way to handle authentication and login. But so far, to showcase the functionality, it was good enough. I will show you later which kind of settings you can store with this Remember Me functionality. So let's see what happens when a user connects to one of our applications. This user actually starts using our third application, and an error occurs on the server. So here, Elma intercepts that error. Our post module will have a chance to handle it. And actually, what it will do, it will just pack it in a JSON representation with a JSON serialization, and will post it to our Elmar instance. This Elmar instance will receive the error and will start broadcasting the error to all the connected clients. So the connected clients will experience something like this. You see that several parts of our single page application got updated. We have the numbers got increased, and we have a new box on top of our central column, and also the numbers on the third column got updated, and the graph also. Okay, now I will give you a quick demo about Elmar. So I will complete what I just showed you in this slide with a few things that were not really easy to show in just a slide. So I have my Elmar instance here ready. It's a local instance. And you see the user interface that I was just describing to you before. You can see, for example, what I was telling you before about the pop-up. If you click the description of an error, you have this nice pop-up window with all the details about the error, so cookies, form, server variables, information about the call stack, and so on. And as I told you, this information is collected by Elma, and Elmar is able to put it into this page in a nice way. We have more functionalities on our application boxes. For example, we have this eye icon, which is showing a list of errors which is very similar to the central one, but it's just filtering the errors relative to that application. So you have an easy way to filter errors and see exactly the errors that happened on a specific instance that you are monitoring. Now let's see actually what happens when we experience an error on our on a monitored application. I have this browser window which is opened on another ASP.NET application. You see that the URLs are actually different, and this application has just one page, which is this one that is there to generate errors. So pressing one of these buttons, I will actually throw an exception on my monitored application. And if you see that as soon as I click my error generator here, things happen on my dashboard, and you see the numbers increase, and boxes about new errors are appearing and stacking up in the central column. So this is, as you see, a real live experience. It's really fast in updating the details. And but I just showed you this with a demo generator that you, of course, will not have available in a real world application. You will not have such a page in your applications. So how can you check if you configured everything correctly and you are really receiving errors as they are happening? Well, so the error login module and handlers library offers you a way to do that with a special URL, which is this one. You see elmar.axd/test. This is really throwing an exception inside your monitor application. So every time you hit this URL, you see that I'm receiving from my monitor application an error signal. And this is a very useful functionality, because this way you don't really need a test page to raise exceptions. So I decided to leverage that functionality and call the same URL clicking this skull button here. So this is really a way to simulate errors. So, and if I click this button, you can see that I'm really going down to my monitored application, hitting that special URL, and I'm receiving back the information about that error, which is, by the way, symbolized by a special icon. So I can really see that was a test error that I launched with this functionality. Okay, what we can also do here is a couple of, let's say, not crucial things, but that are quite nice to show because allow me to explain some more details later when talking about Signaler. You can, for example, sort the application boxes. It's very easy, you just have to drag and drop them. Let's just put this one first again, and just because I will use mostly this one. You can also do this. You can decide that a certain application is not interesting for you anymore. So you can really think about these boxes as error feeds, and you can decide to pause an error feed. So clicking that button, that play button, I changed the state of this feed from playing to paused, and I can click it back to resume it. What's interesting here is that Elmar is able to remember about these settings, and this checkbox that I showed you in the slide, the Remember Me checkbox, is clicked. So now, if I do a full refresh of my page, you will see that he remembered about the sort, the order of my boxes, and actually remembering that this one was paused, it's telling me that there are zero errors for this application. And that's because on the first connection, I decided to give some context to the user to send back to the user the latest 25 errors. So there is some persistent server side. When I receive errors, I store them in a log, which lives on a database. And on the first connection, I send the latest 25. For a paused box, I will not send anything. So I will just take my latest 25 errors from the other application that I'm using. If I play this feed again and do again a full refresh, I will see that now the errors are distributed in another way because I'm also taking errors from this application. Okay, so I think I'm done with this quick demo. Now I have one more slide to really show you how things work behind the scenes in our Elmar application. So let's first see what happens when a user first connects to our dashboard. So here in this box, I'm representing my Elmar instance server side, and this empty box here is representing, let's say, a browser. Our user connects to our dashboard. So the first library that kicks in and starts doing its job is Signaler. As I told you, Signaler has a server-side part and a client-side part, and those two parts will start talking to each other, and we will see soon how they do that. On our first connection, as I told you, I want to send just the latest 25 errors. So I collect them from a database, and now I will use Signaler to broadcast. To send that information to the user that is connecting. So at this point, a sort of chat between the server and the client will start happening. So we will have calls from client to server and from server to client. And Signaler will start calling callbacks that we supplied when we initialized the Signaler machinery. And at the end, all the data will go down in data structures that we have client side. And at that point, we will use Knockout to update live our user interface through declarative bindings. What will happen at this point is that we will see a page that I showed you before with the first 25 errors. So this is the first scenario where Signaler and Knockout are used when we do the first connection. But the true scenario that I wanted to implement is when we are connected with multiple clients and we want to see errors happening live. So we don't want to deal with errors history, but with errors happening in real time. So at this point, let's put in place our monitor application. In our monitor application, we will have our Elmar library configured and our error post module configured so that when an error will occur, our post module will have a chance to post it. And it will post it to an endpoint which is exposed by our Elmar dashboard. This endpoint is really just an HTTP handler that, when receiving an error, will use Signaler to broadcast information about that error. So our user connects to our web application, starts using it, and at some point an error will occur. What will happen behind the scenes is that inside ELMA we have an error log module that is able to raise events when errors are trapped. And our error post module will just subscribe to this event. And so when errors will occur, we will have a chance to get called and do something with those errors. What will we be doing is simply pack them in some JSON representation and post them to our endpoint on Elmar. At this point, SignalR will be used after unpacking our error details and serializing again with deserializing them in an error structure that we have on Elmar. We will be able to use SignalR to do a broadcast to our connected clients. That's why I put three arrows there, because we are really broadcasting to all the connected clients. And now again, SignalR will client side will receive those data, and we will be doing the same stuff that we were doing at the first connection. We will put those information inside view models and inside specific collections, and again Knockout will update our user interface, and we will have the experience to having our numbers updating in real time. Okay, enough with slides. Now we will go to Visual Studio to see how we configure the application and how we actually how the code works to implement all these functionalities. So we will take a look at the configuration files. Then we will start to replicate the first scenario that I showed you. So when you do a connection for the first time. And so we will see how SignalR really works, and I will give you some basics about SignalR. Then we will move to the second scenario, the really interesting one, when we really intercept things happening live. And so we will see how ELMA comes into play and how our error post module does its job. And then at the end, I will give you some words and some more details about how I used Knockout. As I told you, probably we will not go much into details about this, because we really don't have time, but I really want to give you an overview about this because I really think that it's a great library and it's very useful when you want to decouple the job of the developer and the job of your preferred web designer. And we will be done. So first, let's go to Visual Studio. Okay, and now let's open the configuration file of our dashboard. This is the solution that we will be using. If you go in our repository on Bitbucket, we have two solutions there. One is the main solution called Elmar to do development. Then I have this other one called App Harbor. It's called like that because I used this one to deploy a demo website on the App Harbor infrastructure. And it's an easier solution to use when doing demos because there are more things already configured. In this solution, we have our elmar.demo project, which is really representing our Elmar instance and dashboard. And we open the configuration file for this one. So you can see that we have an ELMA section, which is there just to intercept error occurring on the dashboard. But here, we are really interested in our Elmar section, because here we are really defining the application that we are monitoring. If you remember, we have four boxes here, and you can see that in our configuration file, here we have four application keys representing our four boxes. Each one will have a name and a source ID. The name is obvious. The source ID is important because it's the piece of information that you will be using to track errors and put them in the right box, let's say, so associate that error to the right application. So each one of our application will have a specific source ID. And we are done with the configuration on the dashboard, so it's really simple. Now let's see the configuration file for our source of errors, which is this one. And here we will be using just Elma, of course. We don't have anything called Elmar as a section. We will be just using Elma, configure it as we want with our error log. In this case, I'm writing in memory, but I could write anywhere else. We can put filters, whatever we are used to do in Elmar if you know it. If you don't know it, you just need to know that Elma is made up of modules, which are configured here. And actually, this third module is the one that I wrote. It lives in this Elmar.elma assembly, and it's a called error post module. This will receive the details of my error and will be able to post them in our to our Elmar dashboard. To configure this module, I have this key available, and again, I have a few attributes. The most important ones are the first two, so the target URL, so this is really where I will be posting my error details, and you can see this URL belongs to my Elmar dashboard, and this is the name of the handler. It's a posterror.ashx file, so at the end it's an HTTP handler. And we will have a source ID, so you can see this one will match one of these four. In this case, it's matching our fourth key, so we will know that our errors will be going in this application. So, okay, I configured everything now. Let's see how things start when we are using Signaler. So when we first connect to our page goes down to the client, and our page will reference a bunch of JavaScript files. You can see that we are using jQuery, of course, and here we are referencing this file, which is called jQuery.signaler. This is because Signaler, when we use the JavaScript client, is really a jQuery plugin. So referencing this file, we will have the plugin ready to use. And then we will need to reference this other file. Normally in the documentation you will see signaler/hubs. I have this 0.5 because I wanted a more specific route to handle versioning for Signaler. But if you don't do that specific route, you just write signaler.hubs and you're ready to go. And this is a special endpoint which dynamically generates JavaScript with all the information about the hubs that you are using. And this is the most important concept about Signaler that we are using now, the concept of a hub. A hub is a great abstraction for a mechanism that allows you to do calls from client to server and from server to client in a very easy way. To expose a hub, what you have to do server side is just to define it in this library called elmar.core, which is where most of the server side code lives. We have this hub type, and so let's have a look at it. Okay, my type is here. It's called hub again. And what you have to do to have this up and running is and available is just to derive from this signaler.hubs.hub type. Doing this and giving it a name with this hub name attribute, you are ready to use it from your clients. And I will show you in a minute how. This attribute is not mandatory, but I think it's a good way. It is preferred to use this attribute to give a specific name, because if not, it would use the class name, and at some point this could be not really clear when using your hubs. So just derive from this, just decide a name, and you are good to go. At this point, on the client side, you will be able to access this hub, and I will show you how immediately. The only thing that I want to tell you now is that when from a client you will want to access hub functionalities, you will need to expose them, and to expose them it's very simple. You just have to add public methods to your hub. Every public method that you will be adding on your hub will be exposed and will be accessible by your clients. So you see I have several public methods, all of them will be reachable by our clients. I put a breakpoint here because this is the first method that we will be calling. And now I switch to our client. I'm here, right. Here I open the, I'm using Chrome, so I open the Chrome Developer Tools. And I will show you, we have several files, JavaScript files, of course, and also Elmar has four JavaScript files so far. But the most important one is the elmar.core.js file. We will be looking just at this one because most of the things happen. We go to the bottom of this file, and this is where all the signaler machinery starts. And actually, there is some more code around, but we are really interested in this piece of code. And what we are doing here, you see, is accessing this $.connection object. So this is really our connection, underlying connection exposed by Signaler. And as I told you, Signaler is a jQuery plugin. So you access this connection object from the dollars alias for jQuery. Sorry. When you have this connection available, you can access this hub object when you want to use hubs. And to start all the hubs that you have available, you just have to call this start method on the hubs. So when we will be done with this call and the Signaler will have started all the machinery, it will call us on this callback that we are supplying. And so we will be really starting our business inside this callback. And inside this callback, I start again putting a couple of breakpoints because they will be useful later. Inside this callback, you see that we are accessing this Elmar object, and this Elmar object will be the main topic when I will be talking about Knockout. It's a facade that I'm using just to hide the data structures behind a set of useful methods to just isolate that part and to not to have to spread the references to data collection all over the place. So it's not really interesting now. What I'm interested in showing you now is how I'm using this Elmar connector object. This Elmar connector object is just a variable that I defined on the top of this file, is this one. And you can see that it's just a reference to this $.connection.elmar object. So again, we have our signaler connection, and on top of this signaler connection we have this Elmar object. This is a hub proxy, and this is exactly the name that we gave to our hub server side with our attribute. So with this reference I will be able to do calls on our proxy, and this is exactly what I'm doing here. You see that I'm doing Elmar connector dot connect. This is the name of my first method that I want to call. This method is actually collecting some information about my monitored apps and packs them in this array, does some more processing that I will tell you about when we will be talking about another interesting feature from Signaler, and then it does this call. This is really the interesting piece another interesting piece about Signaler, because we are accessing this caller object. This caller member, actually, exposed by signaler.hubs.hub, is a very special one because it's of type dynamic. So it's a .NET dynamic object. And as you might know, on a dynamic object, we can call whatever method we want server side, in this case, and at compile time we will have no problem. The code will just compile just fine. This call will be actually resolved at runtime, and what will happen is that Signaler will resolve that call, will take care of serializing this information in a JSON representation, and will send everything to the client. And this call will actually happen on our hub proxy on the client. That call will receive the JSON representation of this data structure and will unpack that representation in a set of JavaScript objects. So I just said that we have to have this call on our hub proxy, so we will have to add it because, of course, this is something that we need to add to the proxy because it's our business. So let's go back to our developer tools, and we'll see that just some lines of code above, we have a section of code where we are extending our Elmar connector, so our proxy, with the $.extend method, adding methods. And you see that here I'm adding this advertise applications method. So this is really where we'll be, we will receive the information about our applications. I put a breakpoint here and we will see actually what will happen here. I go back now on the connect method because when I will be doing this call will happen asynchronously and everything actually happens asynchronously with Signalr. So also our connect call here will happen asynchronously. So we cannot really just wait for this call to complete and expect to receive something synchronously. This will happen asynchronously. So if we want to do something when this connect call has been completed, we will have to do that in an asynchronous way. All the methods exposed by a client side hub proxy are returning jQuery promises. If you don't know, if you're not familiar with this concept, just forget about it. It's just a way that you have to specify callbacks to be called when your method call will complete, maybe successfully or maybe with failure. So you have several fluent methods that you can call on a promise, and I'm using the done method that gets called when everything just works fine and completes. So I'm supplying this callback, and so we will be able to go on and do some more stuff. With the connect method, I just received the details about my four monitored application. So I'm ready to ask my server to send me the latest 25 errors that I experienced. And again, so I will be doing a call on my proxy on this method exposed client side that will be actually executed server side inside this retrieve historical errors method. And again, here I'm collecting informations about my errors and I'm unpacking them and I'm sending them again with this caller object to the client. So actually we can really say that this caller object represents our actual caller inside our server-side method. So when we get a call server-side, this caller object is representing our current caller client-side. And we will be calling again a method on our hub proxy client-side. So I expect also to have this other method defined on my proxy, and it's actually this one. So, okay, I put some breakpoints there, so we can really now have a look at things while running. So I just do a full refresh here. Okay, with my full refresh, you can see that the page at first loads empty. So it's not really receiving everything on the first load. We'll start receiving things dynamically. With this breakpoint, I'm here just before calling my start method on the hub object, so I'm ready to start Signalr. I press F8 and I'm enter inside my callback. So here I'm ready to do my to perform my call on my proxy on this connect method that will be, let's say, remoted to our server. So I let this code go, and you see that I hit my breakpoint server side. So here I collect the informations about my errors in this array. Okay, you see my four applications. I'll just keep this for loop and I will tell you about it later when talking about groups in, let's say, 10 minutes. I just press F5 and now I'm ready to do my call and go back to the client. So I'm calling back the client on the current available persistent connection, and this call will happen synchronously, asynchronously from a technological point of view, but I would say immediately. So we will not have to do some sort of polling client-side to see results. I press F5 and you see that I immediately hit this breakpoint in my advertise application method. To be clear, I hit this breakpoint here, but as I told you, this is an asynchronous call. Also, this callback after the completion of the connect method is an asynchronous one, and you are not guaranteed about the order of this call. Sometimes when I do this demo, I get called first here. Some other times I get called here. In my case, it's not a problem because the way I handle the data structures is not really an issue, but it is something that you should be aware of because it could be maybe more critical in your case, and you really have to deal with this asynchronicity in the right way. So what I will be doing here, I just put my dashboard in the background. I will start doing enumerating my application. You see that I'm receiving my four application, and I'll pass the details about those application again to my Elmar object, that facade object that I introduced before. You can imagine that here I'm just storing those details, and I will tell you later exactly how, when I will describe you how I use Knockout.js. So far, just keep this as enough to know these details will go to these data structures thanks to these methods. I just enumerate them, and I'm storing those details. I let this code go. And now you can see that I got on my callback because the connect method completed. And I'm ready to enter in this start method, again in our facade object. Actually, I will show you this one just because it's very short. And you see that here I'm starting what I will be describing later. It's where I start the bindings for Knockout, and I'm passing to Knockout a data structure, which is this one, which is containing the data that I want to bind to my user interface. And we will have a look at those later. So I start the binding. And now with this call, I'm just really saying that I want to start showing the UI widgets. So you can see that when I do this call, I'm starting seeing something happening on my user interface. Actually, I received the data about my four applications, so I have my four applications there. But you can also see that we have no errors yet. So I let my code go, and now I'm reaching this other call, the Elmar connector.retrieve historical errors. This is where I'm asking my hub server side to send me the latest 25 errors. I let this call go, and you see again I hit my server side code. And here I just again collect information about my applications and then about the latest 25 errors that I have on the application that I'm monitoring. I pack them in a data structure, which is again an array. You can see here I have the details of my errors, and now I'm ready to do the same stuff that I did before. So on my current caller, I want to call this notify errors method, which will be executed client side. So I just let this code go, and you see that I got my breakpoint hit client side inside my notify errors method. And now we will see things happening live because I start enumerating my 25 errors which are inside this envelopes object. And each time I will be calling this Elmar.addError method. So again, on my facade object, I'm calling a method. You see that the boxes will start popping up and pile up in the central column. And also the numbers, my application will start changing. You can see down below the 5 is changing. Now also the one there on the first box and so on. I just let the code go. And at this point, I will hit my last callback, but you can already see that the user interface is already updated. And then I just complete my sequence of calls, pressing F8, and I'm done with the first connection. Everything is ready in place. And now I can really wait for errors to occur. So let's see what happens when errors occur at this point. I go to Visual Studio. And this Visual Studio instance is also attached to my source of error application, so to my simulator of errors. So I can really open my solution and look for my error post module, which is configured inside my source application. And this is where how I extended Elma to trap errors and send them to the dashboard. I wrote this module. It's very easy to extend Elma with a new module because you just have to override, sorry, to derive from this HTTP module base exposed by Elma and overwrite this onInit method. Here you can do some initialization, and here, for example, I'm reading things from my configuration. So, for example, where I have to post my details. And then I take a reference to the error log module from Elma, and I subscribe to this event, which is called each time an error occurs. So I supply my event handler to that event, and so I will get called inside this anonymous method every time an error will occur. So I just put a breakpoint here, and I go to simulate an error. So here I have my windows to simulate errors. I just press my button, and you can see that I hit the breakpoint. So Elma is passing me the details of the error that just occurred. I have them in this data structure. Here they are. I pass this information to a private method, which is just handy to keep the code cleaner. And here what I'm doing is really simple. I just prepare an HTTP post, and I retrieve from the configuration the source ID for this current application, which is this App Harbor string. I pack all the error details in this name value collection that I will post. And for example, here I have my error object, which is a type from Elma, and I do a JSON serialization of this error thanks to this helper that Elma exposes. So along with this JSON representation, I also send the ID of the error generated by Elma and this source ID that I read from the configuration. So I pack everything there, and now I'm ready to do my post, which will happen asynchronously. I do an asynchronous post. You will remember, I hope, that we will be posting to this URL, which lives in our Elmar dashboard. I will open it now. It's this one. Okay, you see it's a simple HTTP handler that will receive the post and will treat it. So I put a breakpoint here and press F5, and so I went back in Visual Studio in my Elmar instance, and now I'm ready to unpack the information in the post that I received. Okay, so you can see here, for example, I have my JSON representation of my error. Here I have my source ID, which I will use to match the right application on this side. And now I do some stuff to retrieve in data structures that I have server-side the right application corresponding to the source ID. And then I will, at the end, append this error to this source. This will return me a deserialized instance of that error, which is of type elmar.core.error. This is not the same type that we saw before here in Elma. It's another one. And I choose not to take any binary dependency on Elma, because what I really wanted to do is to build a system that could be used with also with the platforms where Elma is not available. So Elma was a starting point, was really where I found the right representation of an error, but I really relied just on the representation of the error. So it's really the JSON representation that is interesting for me. And if we want to use Elmar from another platform, let's say a Windows client application, or maybe some PHP or Ruby or whatever other web server platform, if I want to trap errors there and I have a way to trap them, I can just craft a representation of that error which is compliant to the one that we use here, which comes from Elmar. And as soon as I'm able to do that and post it to Elmar, Elmar will be able to treat it seamlessly. So it's really easy in this way to try to extend this the usage of this application to other contexts. So what I'm doing here now, it's actually just some packaging of my information, and now Signaler goes back in play with some APIs that we have available. I take a reference to a context which points to my hub, and on this context I can use this I can make calls on this client's member. This one is really equivalent to this caller member, but while here we were inside a hub, so we had a sort of handle for the current connection, here we are outside of a hub, and so we don't really have a current connection, but we have the set of all the connected clients, and so we can do a broadcast to all the connected clients, and we will be calling a method that will get executed client side exactly as we did before from inside a hub. Let's just forget for really a minute about this indexer. Let's just imagine that it's not there. So let's imagine that I'm just doing dot clients dot notify errors. I let this code go, and you can see that I immediately hit my breakpoint here. And now if I just go on with my code, I see that that error get added to my user interface. And so I really received this one live as soon as it occurred on my server side, on my monitored server side application. Okay, I just told you, please forget about this for a second, but actually I want to go back to this one because it's important. This is a way that you have to target just a specific set of clients when you want to broadcast. This is using a feature called Groups from Signaler. And actually, if you remember at the beginning, in our first method, I skipped these two lines of code. What we are doing here is looking at some information that I stored server side in a persistent database when storing the settings. And I am enumerating my application. And for each one, I'm looking at this flag to decide if this current connection is interested in receiving information about that application or not. If yes, I will take the current connection and I will add it to a group called like the source ID of the current application that I am enumerating. So every source ID becomes really a name for a group, and we can add connections to that specific group or remove connection from that group. In this way, we will be really sort of subscribing and unsubscribing groups, and actually this feature will be used here because we are really just broadcasting to all the clients that subscribed the group that has the same name as the source ID of the error that we just received from our monitored application. So the real application of this is really easy to demonstrate. If I click on this button, I will actually pause my feed, and I will actually again call a method on my hub. Let's go back again just for a second on my server-side code on my hub, because you may already figure out at this point that that specific button will call a method here through Signaler, and actually is this public method. Let's change the status of this box, and you see that I'm getting here. What I'm doing here is very simple. I'm saying, okay, I'm the box for App Harbor, and I want to turn off the feed. So I take this branch of this if, and I'm going in my groups collection, and I remove the current connection from the group called App Harbor. So doing this, I have my box that now is grayed out. And if I raise an exception from there, you can see that the exception actually gets trapped by ELMA. So my event handler that I added in my error post module gets called. So I will be doing the post here. And actually, it happened because here I'm back again in my HTTP handler that received the post. So I'm back in the ELMAR application. And I will go down to here, of course. And now I will do my broadcast. But you can see that in our browser window, nothing happened. The number is still 14 as before. And here in the list, we don't have any new error. If I resume my feed, I will do the complementary action. So at this point, I will add back again this connection to this group. I will let the code go. And then now I will try to simulate again my exception. And again, I get the exception get trapped by ELMA. My error, my event handler gets called. So I will be posting the details. The handler on the other side, on the ELMAR side, will receive the error. It will unpack the details and will be ready to post that error. And you see, it was 14. And now when I do my broadcast, you immediately see that I'm hitting the breakpoint again in my Chrome instance. And so when I will just go on and process this error, that error will get added and it will appear on my user interface. Okay, I really think that with the demos I'm pretty done. So you really had an overview about how I used Signalr to drive all the communication from client to server and from server to client, and how I extended ELMA, to intercept errors and process them and send them to my ELMAR dashboard. Now I just want you to give you a quick look about to show you how I actually used Knockout to update the user interface. If you remember, I just stopped my code calls like this one, elmar.something. So I was using this facade object and I was passing information that I was receiving from the server to these methods on this facade object. Actually, what I'm doing inside of these methods is collecting the information that I'm receiving and putting them in errors model and view models. Knockout.js is an implementation of the MVVM pattern, so model view model pattern. And what we need to do to update the user interface using the Knockout as an engine is to create view models and put them in the right places so that Knockout will be aware of them and will be able to monitor them. At the top of this file, I define my view models. You see, for example, this view model is for representing details of an error. And I have another one here to represent details about an application. This view model contains a set of fields that are, let's call them read-only. They are initialized when we create an instance of a view model, and they stay like that for the rest of the life of this object. While for the application view models, I also have some fields that are observable. This observable concept is the key of the functioning of Knockout, because it's really how you define that a certain data container must be observed by Signalr. And if things are happening on that object or on that collection in case of observable array, Knockout will be able to react and to update the user interface accordingly. So, for example, this errors array inside my application view model, it's really representing the collection of errors that we have in our application. The data that will be collected in that collection will be represented by this list. We, at the beginning, started up the bindings for Knockout with this call, if you remember, and we were passing this data structure to the bindings. This really represents the root of all our data structures that and of our data hierarchy, I would say at this point. And Knockout will start monitoring that object and will start updating the user interface when things will happen on that object. That object is defined here, and it contains some read-only fields again, but also a couple of collections that you can see are again observable array. And you can already imagine that this advertised application is a collection representing my application, so will be rendered with these four boxes for my application here. While this other collection called all errors will receive the details of all the errors, and this will be rendered with this central column. So what will really be happening when we call our methods on our Elmar object, like for example this one advertise application that happens at the beginning, we are really at some point instantiating our view model, and we are passing it inside our advertise application collection. This will make Knockout.js able to render this part of our page. Another example, we were calling add error when we were receiving errors. Again, you see I'm creating an error view model. I'm supplying some information for that. And then I'm doing two things. I'm looking for the application that corresponds to this error. So it's that is really the source of this error in this collection. So checking the source ID that should be matching. When I found it, I call this other add error, which lives inside my application view model. And here I will be adding my error to to the errors collection as I just described you before. So I will have the error appearing in this list. Then, after doing that, again in our add error method here, I'm doing some more stuff, and actually I'm going to the all errors collection and I add some more, add again the same error view model inside this collection too. And this will be bound to this column. Okay, so I showed you how the data structures are related to our UI. Let's really see how this relationship is set up on our UI. So we have just one page. It's a single page application. It's this default CSHTML page. And here, apart from some code at the beginning, we really have plain old HTML, maybe not too old because it's a HTML file, but it's just clean HTML. This is where my wife did her job without having to deal with JavaScript and with any noise given by code. The only thing that we have to do is to declare bindings. Knockout.js will process those bindings, and for example, this one is very clear. We are really saying that this div is containing a template. The content of this div will be used as a template and will be applied on every application view model which lives inside this collection. And this collection is an observable one, so each one a new application will appear will be added using this template to render it. And the template itself will be bound to that object, so we will be able to read members of our application view model, like the errors count, or like, for example, here the timing of the error, and so on. At some point, we should also have another template here, which is on top of the error collection inside our application view model, and this will be rendered as the list of errors inside each box. And then some below we have another one, for example, which is the binding for all the errors. Again, we have a div which declares with this content a sort of template that will be applied to all the errors that are in that collection. And if we add new errors live in real time, Knockout.js will be able to update our user interface accordingly, and everything works just fine without having to do any DOM manipulation with JavaScript. Okay, so I just answered this question and we will be closing. The question is, will removing an application from a signaler group affect other people who are viewing the Elmar dashboard? At the same time, absolutely not, because when we deal with our group's collection from a hub, we are really dealing with the connection that did the call from the client to the server. So we are really dealing with that connection, and we are removing only that connection. So any other client that is connected at that time will not be impacted and will keep on working the same and receiving the broadcasts. Okay, I really think that I'm done. I just want to tell you in 30 seconds the status of the project. The project is a, let's call it a beta version, it's 0.8.8, so it's growing quite good, but it's still not complete. It has some few minor problems that I hope to solve very soon. It's an open source project, so if you really like it and you find it's interesting, you are really welcome to join this project. So contributions are welcome, but also maybe it's just advices. If you just don't want to deal with the code, but you have advices or you know that something that I did should be done better in another way, I'm really open to any suggestion. And actually, I use this project, and I currently still use it to learn more about all the ASP.NET stack goodness that we have. And so I'm really open to suggestions. I want to learn more, and I want to improve the project. The documentation is available on the Bitbucket repository. It's still very basic, but should be enough to let you configure your instances and using them. I have no really documentation on the code itself, but I hopefully will add some of them during the next few months. Here you have some links. So I really think that I'm down. I thank you for your patience. It's been my first experience as a speaker in a conference, so I just hope it was not too bad. And remember to evaluate the session, and as we say in Italy, ciao everybody.